In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. In the book entitled The Cost of Discipleship, Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote, "The cross is laid on every Christian. As we embark upon discipleship, we surrender ourselves to Christ in union with his death. We give our lives to death. The cross is not the terrible end to an otherwise God-fearing and happy life, but it meets us at the beginning of our communion with Christ. When Christ calls a man, he bids him to come and die. When Christ calls a man or a woman, he bids him to come and die. Now, he's not calling this man or this woman to die to the physical life that he's leading, but to die for self. He wants us to go on living, not as a self-absorbed person who has no spiritual life, but to give up a life of satisfaction, to give up a life of self-satisfaction, self-aggrandizement, to get away from a me, me, me world, and to become his disciple, following the life that he lived, born of a woman who came into this world to die for our sins." Now, devotional writer A.W. Tozer further addressed this when he wrote, "The widest thing in the universe is not space. It is the potential capacity of the human heart." Potential capacity of the human heart. Being made in the image of God, it is capable of almost unlimited extension in all directions. We can encompass the whole world. And one of the world's greatest tragedies is that we allow our hearts to shrink until there is room in them for little besides ourselves. Last Sunday's gospel reading addressed this when Jesus told the master of the feast to which he had been invited, Luke 14, 13 through 14, "But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just." Now, the following verses that I'm going to go through are not part of this year's readings, but they contain a parable of Jesus that illustrates the lives of those whose focus is not on being a disciple of Jesus, but on their own desires. Luke 14, 16 through 24. "A man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time before the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, 'Come now, everything is ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I have bought a field, and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to examine them. Please have me excused.' And another says, 'I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come.' So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, 'Go out quickly to the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in the poor and crippled and blind and lame.' And the servant said, 'Sir, what you have commanded has been done, and still there is room.' And the master said to the servant, 'Go out to the highways and the hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of these men who were invited shall taste my banquet.'" None of those men or women who were invited shall taste my banquet. So when we're talking about the banquet, what are we talking about? In Jesus. We're talking about his salvation, going to heaven. That is the great banquet of Jesus Christ. We don't want to miss that. We want to be there because Jesus has invited each and every one of us to attend this great banquet. Now that we have laid the groundwork for the gospel reading, we begin with Luke 14, verse 25. Now great crowds accompanied him. Oh, who were these people, these great crowds that were following along for Jesus? For the most part, they were probably a vast mixture of all kinds of people. Those who believed in Jesus. Those who thought that he could give them something. Healing, wealth, whatever. Those who probably wanted to catch him saying something that they could hold against him. But probably for the most part, it was just those who were curious about who was this man, this Jesus, who did these miracles. And who talked so beautifully to them. Jesus addressed them all as he saw their needs and gave them each something that they could hold on to. Seeing their zeal to learn, he laid out for them the cost of discipleship, the cost of following him. As we follow him, we must be fully prepared to encounter not only his blessings, but to be prepared for the worst. Again, from verse 25. Now great crowds accompanied him, and he turned to them and says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. For most of us, the word hate is very distasteful. We have been taught to hate the word hate. Are we to hate our mother, our father, our wife, our children, our husbands? The Greek word missio, being translated here as hate, actually has several meanings. Hate, detest, love less, esteem less. Now, some may want to go to the lower end of the scale and use esteem less because it isn't as harsh as hate. However, Jesus is here warning the people that desire to follow him, to be his disciple, they must be prepared for the absolute worst that could happen. Why? Because if you cannot follow Jesus through the absolute worst that could happen, then when something does occur, whether it be just a trifling or a major disaster, you will most probably turn away from him. Because your life is not fully dedicated to serving him, but doing only what pleases you in your life. This is not the definition of a disciple. A disciple will remain true through all that happens. Therefore, I see the word hate as being appropriate. For if we as disciples of Jesus cannot hate what comes between us and our faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we are not his disciples. If our father, mother, wife, husband, children, sisters, brothers, and yes, even the desires of our own hearts comes between us and our faith in him, we are not his disciples because we are doing our own things. We are not following him. We are just serving ourselves and our own desires. Therefore, we must hate what comes between us. Hate to the point of giving up and quitting? No, but hating the evil. The evil and working and praying to reconcile that which separates us from him. And that is part of why he came to this world, to reconcile us to himself, that we might have everlasting life with him. Now, you may love your father, your mother for giving you birth and raising you, for making you the person that you are, but at the same time, not loving them in the aspect if they try to separate you from your faith in Christ Jesus. I'm not saying you have to hate your mother and father for other reasons, but only hate that thing which comes between them and you. I am not, of course, addressing all parents as trying to drive a wedge between you and Christ. But when such occurs in our lives, we must be prepared to deal with it. We must understand it. We must know it. We must be able to deal with it. So what action is required if you hate your parents and everything else? Remember, it is not them personally that you are hating, but the evil that is behind their misguided action of trying to separate you from your faith. Pray for them. Teach them. Guide them. Lead them to the arms of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Be a person that they can be proud of and see in your life how wonderful a person you can be in Jesus Christ. And they may at some time be ready to confess the name of Jesus Christ. Now Jesus elaborates on this more in verse 27. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Claiming to be a disciple of Jesus Christ and being a disciple of Jesus Christ can be two different things. A true follower, a true disciple, is not swayed from believing by the things of this world. From Luke 9:23, then Jesus said to all of them, if anyone wants to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Take up his cross daily. Not once a year, not every time somebody gets baptized and we all go through the recitation of the baptism, but daily. Daily. Analyze your life. Look through your life. See how things went this day. And ask for forgiveness for anything that you have done wrong. To take up your cross means essentially to deny yourself, to deny the things that will lead you away from Jesus Christ. You deal with those things that come between you and your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, even unto death. If you are facing a situation of death, do you blame it on Jesus Christ? Do you say, Jesus, you did this to me. Why don't you save me? Have faith in Jesus. Believe in him. Trust in him. But don't blame him. Verses 28 through 33, Jesus is warning those who would follow him that in following him, they must consider all aspects of the cost of discipleship. In following him, and if their faith is such that they cannot fully serve him, that it would be better not to follow him at this time. You can build your tower later. You can go to war later. You can dedicate yourself to Jesus Christ later. But when the time is right, do it. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, and all who see him begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. This man began to follow Jesus Christ, but could not finish. Or what king going out to encounter another king in war will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000. And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. He is saying, if you cannot finish what you started, a tower or a war, because you don't have the means to finish it, then don't start it. And if you want to be a disciple of Jesus, he is saying, if you cannot renounce the evil in this world, if you cannot turn away from the evil things that are going on, then you cannot fully dedicate your life to serving him. Not that we have to divest ourselves of our cars, our houses, our jobs, our reputation, our family, and all such things. But that we must make the things of this world subservient to our desire to dedicate ourselves to Him. We must make the things of this world secondary to our love for Jesus Christ. Being a disciple of Jesus is not a part-time job. It is not something we do on Sunday and the rest of the week we don't even think about being a disciple. If you are His disciple, you must be His disciple 24/7. Everything in your life must scream, Jesus! Not for the people of the rock. Your actions, your talk, your interactions with others must say, I am a disciple of Jesus. People must see you and see Jesus in you and not just listen to your words. Oh yeah, I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. In John 13, 34 through 35, Jesus gave us a new commandment. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. When people see the light of Jesus in you and the way you interact with them, when you help them in a time of need, when you exhibit the love of Jesus Christ, then they will know you are disciples of Christ Jesus. And you can open the door for them to come in and worship Him. Father Eric has begun laying out programs so we can interact with the people in not only this community, but with anyone with whom we come into contact. Whether we give of ourselves to clean floors or restrooms in the church, whether we offer programs to the people outside the church, whether we do it in the name of Jesus, let His light shine so that others may see it and know that we are disciples of Christ Jesus. Now when we ask for your time, your talent, and your treasure, don't forget that each one of you have many, many talents that we may not be aware of. Can you teach others? You don't require a teaching certificate to be able to help others to learn things. Can you teach them something that they can use to improve their lives, their standing in the community? Whether reading, whether technical subjects, school subjects, anything, make your willingness to share of yourself known to Father Eric, the clergy, the vestry, so that your willingness to share can be used to enhance the lives of those around us. Jesus has laid His cross on you that you might be His disciples. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You sent to us Your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we ask that You would just open up our hearts and minds to others, Lord, that we may take His love and peace to them, Lord, filling them with Your Holy Spirit, Your grace, and Your mercy, Father. And we ask all of this in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.